We're going to continue our study on David this morning, but I want to just read something today. Yesterday, during the Mother's Day brunch or tea, the ladies had read something about what my moms say, and many of us understand those. And I want to again thank Cheryl and Sonia and Karen, Dodd and Karen and Jana and Sandy. And was there anyone else on the committee who helped? It was a fantastic program. I mean, they did a lot of different things and just a pleasurable afternoon. And I came across a little magazine that I received in the mail this past week called Things I've Learned from My Children. And I thought some of them were pretty unique, and I don't read these so that the kids in the audience can pick up on any clues on how to torment their parents. But it says here, I'll just read some of them. A three-year-old's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. And that's true. And I like this one here. If you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, the motor is not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing Batman underwear and a Superman cape. It is strong enough, however, it's tied to a paint can to spread paint on all four walls of a 20-by-20 room. Then there's another one about baseballs, and I won't share that one this morning about the fan and the baseball bit, but certain Legos will pass, what I learned from my children, certain Legos will pass through the digestive tract of a four-year-old. Play-Doh and microwave should never be used in the same sentence. And super glue is forever. It really is. Then you probably do not want to know what that odor is. And I like this one here because, goodness gracious, the little boy that Atlanta babysits was out in the garage a week or so ago. And he likes to go out there and play around with the lawnmower. He likes to polish it and sit on it. And is always saying, you know, for me to take him for a ride. Well, Atlanta went out into the garage and he had crawled into the dryer. And but anyway, it says, the spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make cats dizzy. Cats throw up twice their body weight when dizzy. The mind of a six-year-old is wonderful. But, you know, we learn a lot from our kids. But this morning we're going to go back and we're going to be looking at David once more. And I just want you to imagine yourself, put yourself in David's sandals. Slip your feet into his sandals. Because David was a 16-year-old boy on the hillside tending sheep, but an old man of God said, I want to talk to him. And so he was brought into the household, and this old man of God by the name of Samuel said, David, you're to be the next king of Israel. You've got a heart after the heart of God. Of course, it sort of blew David for a loop there for a while. He couldn't quite comprehend it, but it began a whirlwind tour and activity in his life. As he began to enjoy being around the palace, enjoyed singing to the king, enjoyed playing the harp and the various instruments. Later he went out to a battlefield and he brought down a giant by the name of Goliath and conquered the Philistine people. He was married to the king's daughter. He had a friend, a close friend who was the king's son. I mean, everything was absolutely fantastic for him. Things were going really great and every day brought him one step closer to the position of being king of Israel, although he wasn't necessarily looking forward to it. You know, there was that time when he was going to become the king. And then all of a sudden, things began to happen, and things went into a tailspin. He fell out of favor with the king, his father-in-law. His Saul sort of prohibited him from being friends with his son, Jonathan. His wife was taken away from him and remarried to another one. He became a fugitive. Ran for 10 to 15 years from Saul because Saul was out to get him. And during this 10 to 15 years of running and running on the go, he still believed that he was going to be the king and he still believed that the promises of God were true. But all of a sudden, discouragement and depression began to wash over him. And no doubt he felt a little bit like we feel. I just want to quit. I've had enough. I'm tired of running. I'm just going to pack it in. I'm going to quit. One day, him and his men, he had about 600 men who was a ragtag group of men who were sort of a suspect kind of men. They were running some mafia kind of racketeering out on the Philistine landscape elsewhere and protecting people. But he came home after a military maneuver. And on this military maneuver, he discovered smoke rising off in the existence. And when they got a little bit closer to home, he found that their whole community had been burnt to the ground. Their homes had been destroyed. Their families had been taken captive, and they had nothing. To top it off, David experienced a triple whammy. Not only was his town destroyed and his home destroyed and his family taken from him, But these 600 men who had been so loyal to him throughout these years decided they wanted to stone David because it wasn't worth walking with him any longer. All he did was getting them into trouble. So here's David in the midst of all of this. He's very discouraged. He doesn't know quite what to do. And the Bible says he turned to God and he began to encourage himself in the Lord. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And then David and his people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, the tears literally ran dry. David's two wives were taken captives, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But what? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, when Ziklag burns, when your family is destroyed, taken captive, your Ziklag can become your graveyard or it can become an opportunity in your life to grow closer to God. And I like those words that I've highlighted in red. It says David encouraged himself. He did more than encourage himself. It says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And we live in a time in which there's so many discouraging words out there, from the news media to the newspapers to our friends to our neighbors, so many discouraging things that we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Now today is Mother's Day, and I just want to just pause for just a few moments. And those of you who are mothers or who are fathers, who are grandmothers, who are granddads, you know how difficult life can get at times. And honestly, there are times in which you feel like a real loser. You feel bummed out. You feel like a failure. You're disillusioned about this thing called motherhood. And you wonder, did God just create kids to drive me crazy? You know? Why did he do this? Why did he make me a mother? Why do I have to go through this? And grandmother, why do I have to go through this all again? But it's a little bit different when you're a grandmother. I mean, there are going to be times when you fall short. You're going to lose your temper. You're going to lose your cool and become angry. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to be downbeat. And you're going to say, God, why? And as a dad, as a father, I understand that mothering is very, very difficult, because sometimes mothers are underappreciated. They are overworked. They're sucked dry. They're fed up. They're burned out. And they just want to quit. Have any mothers ever been there? How many of you have ever wanted to pull your hair out? Okay? You know, I think back about how it is that you get up in the morning. And life begins, if you got toddlers in the home, or maybe your grandmother and you're watching the kids, and how it is that you go out to that table and you prepare breakfast for your kids. And there you are, you got the cereal bowl up there, the Cheerios, and before you know it, there has to be at least one of these happens. They spill the milk or they dump the cereal bowl upside down on the floor. And so you wash the floor up, wipe all the milk up, pick up all the Cheerios, and about that time, you know, little brother's in the other room, and you hear a cat meow real loud, and you realize he's strangling the cat to begin the day, okay? And then they get into the toy box, and they don't ever get in there and grab out one toy or two toys. What do? They dump the whole load on the floor, and it becomes one great big mess. And so here you are as a mom, you're trying to deal with the child at the table, you're trying to deal with the brother who's strangling the cat, you're dealing with the messed up toys, and then you hear the flush of the stool and you hear an uh-oh. And whenever you hear an uh-oh with the flush of a stool, you know that there's something to be, you know, anticipated. And so you run into the bathroom and you discover that, you know, that I'm not talking about you, Johnny, okay, but Johnny there was there, you know, he used it for the right reason, but his brother got in there and experimented beforehand. And so among all this floating debris there, you pull out this plunger and you got to plunge that stool, and you realize that somebody must have flushed a book down the thing. And so you feel around for a little bit, you know, and all that stuff, and you pull out, well, what appears to be a roll of toilet paper that somebody tried to flush down and wouldn't go down. You finally get it cleaned up and you go back out in the kitchen, and your freshly mopped floor has Kool-Aid spilled all over it once again. You know, the cycle continues. And then it comes time for bedtime. And I have to think back, you know, I don't, you know, think of my kids now since I'm a grandfather. I think about how Stacy and Drew will come back home at times. He's a pastor, so they can't get away very much. But they do come home, and seems like every night, you know, their three kids, they just don't want to go to bed. And I sit there and I just sort of smile, you know, and I just really, you know, I take it in. I'm pretty cool about it. They'll go back there and say, if I told you once, I've told you 100 times, it's time to close your eyes. I'm going to separate you and blah, 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 on. Well, you know, as a grandpa, I just walk into the room and I say, here, let me tell you a grandpa story. Okay. And I lay down on the mattress with them and I tell them some strange grandpa story that doesn't make any sense in the world, but they seem to enjoy it. And I said, now it's time to go to sleep, you know, and I'll get up and I'll walk out. And of course, it's usually time for me to go to bed. So I go to bed. And then about that time, I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. If you don't go to sleep, you know, whatever it might be. But you know, sometimes it's like, mothers, dads, sometimes you just want God to come alongside of you and to embrace you and say, it's going to be all right. You know, calm down, collect yourself. Everything's going to be cool. And you want God to sort of come along and step in and be there for you. In fact, do it for you. I get to thinking about the mother who had asked her little boy about going to the closet for that can of soup. You heard the story. And he says, I don't want to go to, it's dark in that closet, Mommy. No, it's all right. Remember what we learned in Sunday school, that Jesus is with you wherever you go. It'll be all right. No, Mommy, no, go, please, please. So he goes back to the closet door and he ponders for a moment and he opens that door and it's dark in there and he says, Jesus, if you're in there, could you hand me that can of soup? You know? But you know, you become frustrated. Does this look like anybody in this congregation? You know, how about this one here? Does this look like anybody in the congregation? Don't they look darling? I mean, you know, how could you get so upset at anything like that? And yet we do become very, very frustrated with life and with just the things of life. But God does. He comes alongside. He says, remember this, I'm the creator of the universe. And everything is going to be okay. Here's David. He comes home. And there's devastation and destruction. You know, it's a little bit worse than perhaps toys all over the living room floor. But he's just greatly distressed, it says. In fact, there's two things we notice in this passage. It says David and his men were greatly distressed. And later we find that Saul is greatly distressed. And there's a contrast in the way that the two men handle themselves. Saul begins to consort with mediums and wizards. And David does what? He consults with the Lord. But it says he comes and he encourages himself in the Lord his God. See, what do you do when Ziklag is burning? What do you do when life is falling apart? You've got to spend some time with God, seek His face, open up the Word, seek the promises, and say, God, would You speak to me? Would You somehow just come and wrap me in the embrace of Your arms and help me to know that You're there with me? Give me the patience to listen one more hour. Give me the patience to be able to deal with this one more day. God, just come. And so He comes in the quietness of the moment. And as we begin to read the Word and encourage ourselves in the Lord, He begins to speak to us. And He begins to commune with us and sustain us by His right hand. Now, if we notice this, notice secondly here that when you Ziklag is burning, you encourage yourself in the Lord. But secondly, you need to remind yourself that perspective changes everything. Again, when you go day after day, mile after mile, hour after hour, sometimes perspective gets skewed. And we find here in verse 21, it says that David and his men became weary, they became tired, and they became exhausted. And that's why, friends, God created the Lord's Day or the Sabbath day. It reminds me that, you know, life gets long, the week gets long. I want to pull my hair out, but God says, just come and on a Sunday, just admit that by coming today, you're saying, I'm leaning upon You, Jesus. I'm trusting in You, Jesus. I want to be Yours. I want to be Yours. And that's what the Lord's Day is all about, reminding myself that it's not about me, it's about God, and my life revolves around me, and He is the energy source of my life. But perspective changes everything. Being able to step back and see things from a totally different point of view. I mean, mom, dads, grandparents, what would happen if we'd stop back and, well, let me ask you this, how do you see your children? Do you see your children as a blessing from the Lord? Or do you see them as a burden from the Lord? You know, do you see them as a gift from God? Or do you see them as something that sort of is an inconvenience and is there to sort of make your life miserable? How do you see your children or your grandchildren? What about your struggle for the future and the fear of the future? You ever had a fear of the future? I know I have. I have a tendency to sometimes worry, and I always have to bring that underneath the reins of God and the Word and remind myself. I know that when our kids get a little older, or kids are teenagers, and they go out for driving for the first time, how do you, many of you parents, you know, you stayed up and waited for your kids to come home? Or how many of you wondered when the siren went by, I hope that wasn't my child, you know, at the stoplight, and somehow something happened. And what God taught me, and still continues to teach me, even as a parent and a grandparent, is that God can be places where I'm not. And I'm not where my children are at, I'm not where my grandchildren are at, but God is, and He knows the situation. And one day I was wrestling with this, and I just had a lot of fear in my heart, and I came up to the altar here one morning through the weekend, through the weekday, and I opened up the Word, and God just began to give me one promise after another promise after another promise. And as those promises of God began to touch my heart, they began to sustain me and give me the peace that passes understanding, until I came to the book of Hebrews, and it reminded me that all of God's Word was true, that He's never backed out on His promises, and that God is there for me. But how do you deal with the struggles of the future and the fear of the future? Do you feel like you're in control of everything, or are you going to give control to God? You know, your whole house is a mess. Yeah, it seems like everything's out of control, but remember that God is still in control. And what about the clutter? What about the monotony of everyday life? Maybe we need to step back and see a new perspective of that and say, you know what, that's just small stuff compared with my son, with my daughter. That's just small stuff compared with my grandson, my granddaughter. I mean, there are things that are eternal. These are temporary. These are temporary. I need to cherish the moment, you know, as I seek to raise them in the ways that God would want me to raise them. What about all the bikes in the front yard and all the Play-Doh that's scattered all over the kitchen floor? You know, are we grumpy when we walk out and say, I told you 100 times to put your bicycle up at the end of the day. Look at it. People go by and they see all that mess out front. What's that Play-Doh doing on the ground? Why did you have to make such a big mess? Are we grumpy, or do we step back and we say, God, I'm grateful that I have a child who could ride a bike. I'm grateful that I have a child who knows how to be creative and take that Play-Doh and make a kangaroo or make a funny face or make a pie or whatever it might be. It's the perspective that changes everything of life. And so often we get bent out of shape by the things that really don't matter. And so we need to step back and say, God, give me a fresh perspective. Even as He gave David a fresh perspective. And He helped him to understand that things was going to work out. Things were going to be okay. Here's the third one. Notice this. We need to reclaim our life and our family for the kingdom of God. You see, David was dealing with this loss. No home, no family, kids, and people, his friends wanting to stone him. And in the midst of encouraging himself, he came to God. He said, God, what should I do? God, how am I going to handle this? And we read in chapter 30, verse 8, he said, as he sought God in prayer, God came back to him. He said, David, I want you to pursue those people who have burned down your village and taken your family. I want you to pursue them. Because you will surely overtake them. And what did David do? He wiped away his tears. He girded on his sword. And he took those 600 men out. And he pursued those Amalekites. And he was able to recover everything, quote, that the adversary or the devil had taken from him. You know, parents, grandparents, there are times in our life when we need to fight for our children. We need to fight for our values. We need to fight for our families. We need to fight to reclaim everything that the devil, the adversary, has taken away from us. We need to fight in the physical arena. We need to fight in the unseen arena and say, this family belongs to God. This family, this child belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to roll up our sleeves and to go into the arena and actually duke it out, you know, and to say, we are going to fight for what's right. I mean, if we don't do it, who will? The government's not going to do it. You know, the community isn't going to do it. We have to do it. We have to stand in the gap. We have to pray. We have to intercede. We have to seek God's face. But at the end of the day, we reminded of ourselves, you know, that life is not a fairy tale. And life is not a fairy tale ending. And life gets tough. And there are things that happen in your life that are going to be difficult. Things will happen to your kids, your grandkids. Things will happen in your life and to your home. But we need to stay fast and stand fast and fight for the goodness of the glory of God in the land of the living. And to say we are going to walk with God. We're going to walk with God. See, we may not be able to choose the circumstance. We may not be able to choose the culture. But we can choose to seek God and rest in His Word And I think that connectedness to God, that being able to be plugged into God, makes all the difference in the world. I mean, imagine beginning every day, mom or dad or grandmom, imagine beginning every day refreshed by the Lord's presence and spending time in the Word. And saying, God, what would you have for me today? How can you encourage me? And imagine hitting a bump, you know, in the road throughout that day, then stepping back and saying, you know what? You know, why should I get so upset? This is nothing but small stuff. You know, there's an eternity here. I need to look at the eternal perspective and give it to God. Imagine, friends, you know how fear tries to paralyze you again and again and again and again. It always has and always will, but God is there for you. Imagine if you're caught in the midst of a firestorm and life is just chaotic, but learning what it means to have peace that passes all understanding because you've learned to walk with the one who created the very universe upon which we stand. And friends, imagine, if you will, being a mama who clings to the feet and the robe of Jesus because your child clings to your dress, to your pants, and to your feet. And every day when that little child comes up to you and they grab a hold of that leg and they won't let go, I pray that that is a simple reminder that you need to cling to Jesus, that you need to seek His face, that you need to walk with Him. I'm going to show you a little video clip here, so make sure the sound's up, Scott. And it's a prayer. It's not very long, but it's very, very cute. So listen.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for my beautiful daughter.
Thank you for my beautiful mommy.
Watch over her as she sleeps tonight.
Don't let her have any sad or bad dreams.
Keep her from harm, sickness, and pain.
Make Daddy keep loving her.
Help me to teach her to love learning.
Please let Mommy read me lots of books tomorrow.
To be honest.
And don't let her find the bracelet that I broke.
And to be nice to her brother.
And if she does find it, make her think that it was my brother that broke it.
Help her to think of others.
Please make my brother feel better and not be sick anymore.
Before she thinks of herself.
Because I'm getting sick of staying home and not going to the park.
In your name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
P.S. Don't let her find the chocolate wrappers either. And God, let her have a really happy Mother's Day.
Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for children who are so precious. Father, they grow up ever so fast. Today we hold them in our arms. Then they walk to off to school. They learn to ride a bike. Then they take off in a car. Then they graduate and they're out. And Father, I pray that we will see each and every step of the journey as a very precious time in our life. That we are stewards, we are instruments of your love, your grace, and your righteousness. I pray, help us to be parents, help us to be grandparents, who spend time in your presence and who learn to know what it means to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to take the eternal perspective, knowing that too often we get all bent out of shape over the small stuff. It's not the small stuff. It's the things that we invest in their life as we enable them to live for God and for the kingdom. And Father, I pray, give us boldness and courage to be able each and every day to stand in the gap, to fight in prayer, to fight in the supernatural arena, to fight in the physical arena for our children, and to be able to know that our children will one day stand in that very same gap and fight for their kids. Father, hold each and every one safe. Every family in this place this morning, I pray, bless them. May your Spirit truly come down upon them. And may every mother, every woman, every grandparent have a blessed day today, Lord, as you truly encourage them in their heart because they have taken time to focus upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.